Episode number 189, Steve and Mike. Welcome to the Heads Up Poker Podcast. This is Steve Barton.
And this is Mike Snyderman.
And we're coming to you. It's just the two of us. I feel like I should sing that song, Just the Two of Us. Bad joke.
Please, sing along, Steve. I woke up. I'm tired. I don't have enough energy to mock you for your lack of singing talent, actually.
Were you up late playing?
Yeah, not too late. I think I got back about 2 a.m. with the games going. I've been averaging more like 4 or 5 a.m. So.
Okay. Yeah, I was up until about 2 o'clock last night, too.
I'm meeting with you this morning caused me to leave early, which probably saved me money because I leave up $1,000 and I don't stay when I'm tired. So
yeah,
that's good.
Good. I made you some money.
Thank you, Steven.
Yes, you're welcome. So what? Where are you at as far as like hours? And we're recording today on the 21st, so we're about 2 thirds. But what?
I told you I was going to play more than 200 hours this month.
Yeah.
This is the new reality, Steve. I don't even want to go. I no longer have any Bitcoin. I've got like 1/8 of a Bitcoin.
Okay.
And I should be suicidal. I will be in 6 months when it gets to 30,000. I don't think so. But I was going to say I have not been checking my Blockfolio. I used to do that like every 5 minutes. So I'm hoping the price stabilizes for the year and I can get back online and make some money. But anyways, this is germane to my my new grinding plan. The new reality is, since I'm not going to have some sort of Hail Mary windfall here, is just I have to work long hours and just like real discipline and just try to slowly grind up a little bit of a life roll, because right now it's really on the edge here. But anyways, yeah, I told you, Steve, I think I said at least 200 a month.
Yeah.
And let me see what I have done this month. 157 hours so far.
Okay.
So that's 2/3 of the month. So basically I'm on, yeah.
Yeah, you're.
I'm on target for well over 200 there.
Yeah.
And although, like I said, we were talking, I might go to Vegas next week. I might meet you as well. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm kind of it's going to be a busy weekend for me if I do that, because I'm working Monday through Thursday, so I'll get in the plane Friday morning, fly out there. I got to handle some paperwork, just shit with the ex, but hopefully that'll be all wrapped up and I can get that done by Friday afternoon, and then WSOP online. So I'd be out there Friday, Saturday, and then I'd have to fly home Sunday morning and then drive down to San Diego, ironically, yeah, Sunday night. I got a training thing with work down there.
I don't know. That sounds like a lot of work to play a couple tournaments, but you always have fun in Vegas. So.
Yeah. So WSOP online, I've never played on there. How does it – you have to physically be located in Nevada, right?
Well, or New Jersey. People can play in this series because they now have a coordinated player pool. But this is their first ever, you know what the circuit events are, right? That's what we went to in Tahoe.
Yeah.
This is their first ever circuit online circuit event where you get a ring if you win.
Really?
And you get, okay, you know, player of the year, you get points towards their, whatever they call it, their national championship.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I looked at the results of their first few events and I did see a fair number of pros that I recognize.
Okay.
So maybe this will be. I still don't think I still think the field's softer than at your average weekend ACR tournament, probably.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot of grinders, but it's fun. It's different. I think the main event is Sunday, so you would miss that. But that's probably, from your perspective, maybe too big a buy-in. You would not like to spend $500 in one tournament.
Online, that'd be kind of well, I'm looking at their schedule right now. Let's see. We're on the 21st, so – when would what's next weekend? Next weekend's okay, 28, 29. Okay, so 29, the 28th, I could play a 215 and then a 320. Yeah, I'd be down with that. Oh, that's pot limit Omaha. Never mind. So I could only play Saturday then. They're double stack 320. Yeah, yeah, I guess you're right. I was picturing there was a lot more tournaments than this.
No, there's one. It's just like a regular circuit. There's one event every day where you can win. I mean, I'm sure they have probably fairly loaded schedules since people are playing this. Like, they probably have a, you know, a $25K, $50 buy-in, $100K with a $200 buy-in. I'm sure they have got a lot of other stuff going on. But
okay, but these are just the ring events. Okay, well, I could play the one ring event and then probably play the side events.
Yeah. But you got a hotel room, Stevie, if you're coming up. Although I think, talking about what I'm talking about, the new reality, I've had a pretty good month here. I've made $60 an hour over all those hours.
Wow, good for you.
At 2.5 with a 600 cap, so that's near the top of the results, I guess.
Yeah.
So if I told myself if I have like a 3K week, mm-hmm, between here and Wednesday, you know, over the next 6 days or whatever, I'm going to let myself go there. But if I have a losing week or a break-even week, I'm going to stick around and just cancel the hotel at the last minute. So,
okay.
Sorry about that, to be flaky, if you make plans, but there is a chance.
So I fly out there and then you're just not at the Harris, then I know.
Well, either way, you got a hotel room, Steve. I don't have to cancel, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll play by ear.
So, yeah, after my speeches about never returning to Vegas ever again, I could be this. It's just the opportunity is too juicy.
Yeah.
That's it, Steve. I got to work hopefully 2,000 hours a year, and I can make my money to survive here, and then at some point take my shots and, have a nice score at some point, kind of make my life a little less difficult. Speaking of going for big scores, though, I really went for it last weekend, Steve. This is a sign of my insanity.
Oh.
Two weeks ago, I don't know, I final tabled the main of the, the weekend major on ACR.
Okay.
And I got fifth place for like 7,500.
Nice.
First was like 29K, I was close. I was very short of the final. I twitched that. I had a few people in the stream for that. And then, I took it off for Bitcoin, and last weekend they had a $1 million tournament with a $2,650 buy-in.
Wow.
That's pretty steep.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even going to play it. I tried to satellite in a couple times and I didn't make it. So finally I said, fuck this, I want to play. And I put money on there and I ended up firing three bullets into it.
Into the 2650?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that was not a good decision. So, so that was like a Bitcoin and a half at the time, Steve. So we'll see again. Everything comes back to Bitcoin. Like, if Bitcoin goes to 30,000 of the year, then that was the way I look at it. I blew almost $50,000 this weekend.
Well, I guess that's one way of looking at it. Yeah.
I like putting things in the most dramatically negative way, Steve. You
know? Yes, you do.
So again, if I just, live cash, Steve, is just the lowest varying. I mean, I sort of have the blueprint, which I've talked about for over a year, which is a live cash guy who grinds tournaments on Sundays.
Yeah.
But I also have to factor in the fact, I got to do it with the bankroll.
Yeah.
I have to use the same discipline online with what my bankroll is right now. I mean, they don't have $2,600 tournaments that often, but even if I could get in, even if I had 10,000 in my account, I don't know if it's the best investment.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's an epic fail, and that caused me to like just sell the rest of my coin. I'm like, I just, if this goes to zero, I'll go insane. Probably a bad economic decision not to leave at least a couple coin in there, which I could maybe survive on. We'll see if I have another month or two in a row here. That's good. But I just want it out, and it has been good for my mental health here. I've not even looked at it.
Oh, good.
Okay. For a week. And of course, if it starts its surge, that'll be very disappointing, but
the bankroll management thing, I've been studying the stocks a lot because I got this class coming up. And that's it's so similar to poker, dude. I think you would do very well at it. you know, and their number one thing, just like in poker, that is, you know, it's like Phil Hellmuth says, if you don't have bankroll management, then, you know, you can't win in the long run, no matter how good you are. And it's the same thing with stocks, exactly the same. Like, I'm listening to these books and these guys are like, yeah, don't risk any more than 1% of your bankroll on one trade. What if you're wrong? Like, and I learned that lesson painfully with the MGTI, basically buying stock in a company that mines Bitcoin and Ethereum and all that. And man, that thing went from, I think the most I paid for it was 425, I think, something like that. Anyways, my average cost was about $3. And now it's scooting down around 21 cents. But I put of my stock portfolio, I put 20% of my bankroll on that one decision, which looking back was fucking stupid. But at the time I didn't,
right.
I never made the correlation that until I heard it in a couple of books that, oh shit, this is just like poker. Okay. Well, that was an expensive lesson.
You know, yeah, exactly.
I wish I would have put two and two together before I did that. I just never did.
So Steve, and it's funny, I was getting ready to ask you, I'm like, you always have another little, you like to master, at least try another something new.
Mm-hmm.
Started an Amazon business, probably just to see if it was fun or not, as much as for money.
Yeah.
So is this your next little journey here? You want to become a stock investment expert, or are you just, you're not actually trying to get licensed to do something when you say you're taking a class?
No. I'm just learning how to, basically this guy is going to teach us how to read the charts, find the patterns, and then, I mean, in a nutshell, to put it simply, when to buy and then when to sell. Because I've made all, forget the MGTI fail that I did, but you know, almost all the stocks I've bought have gone up, but I just never know when to sell. You know what I mean? It's like,
right?
You know, and I sold some. I almost tripled my money in one stock. It's Advanced Micro Devices. It's a AI company. My average cost getting in over the last year was $12, and it's up to $32 right now. And I was just sitting on my phone. I'm like, don't do anything until you go through this class. You know, you may miss out. And I was like, you know what? F it. I can sell less than half of these shares, pay for the whole thing, make some money. I made a few $100, and now I'm free rolling with the rest of that stock. And I thought, okay, this can't be a horrible decision, right? And but I don't know. I'll go through the class and find out.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. The funny thing, I'm sorry, I'm looking around for, I might have just erased it. Somebody gave me a investment advice on a stock. It is funny in a small card room how certain nuggets of wisdom can swirl around, because then I heard about the stock from someone else a few days later.
Yeah.
I'll find it, Steve, in tech. Not that I would know, but I did look it up, and it has grown like by 200% over the last year. And this guy's like, oh, it's just the beginning. Does some have some sort of cancer related research?
Hmm.
And they're like, they're waiting for a patent. And when this thing is, but you know, it's a local company and probably someone that owns the stock there and talked about it and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know, Steve, I think that stock charts is, it's very similar to gambling.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's professional gambling.
I kind of feel like you just, with stocks, you need like rich friends who can tell you what the next big thing is, who are locked into the system. Otherwise, you're just kind of gambling. But that's what the billionaires do. They're just trading information back and forth, and they own most of it. But hate to be cynical there, Steve.
Well, maybe. We'll find out.
But I'm sure you will, from what information you need, you will maximize it. But like I said, the market's been going crazy for the last few years, right? So anyone who's spreading their investments over more stock, you know, is probably has made money, I would think.
Yeah.
Just picking them randomly.
Yeah. There is a crash coming. It's, man, I thought it would have happened a couple of years ago. I'm glad I sold my house at the time. I think the crash is coming. And my buddy convinced me. He's like, you know, once the crash hits, don't be lazy. Stop renting and buy a place in Ventura. He's like, that's that. And
right.
Ironically, Oceanside, he said, is he's real into real estate. And he said, those two places are the most affordable places with proximity to the beach from San Francisco to San Diego. He said, everything else is just, it's going to be too high. He's like, but if
right.
you get in Ventura, you already live there. He's like, that'll be a good long-term investment.
I know when you were talking about buying a house with Alex and stuff, that was your argument a year ago. You're like, listen, you got to wait until the market dips. Yeah. So it's funny, Alex is talking about buying, but he's like, I'm waiting for the bubble to break too.
Good. Okay.
So you got all these people who with, especially the ones with a big pile of Bitcoin, are just waiting for a dip. And then selling real estate in Vegas will be profitable in probably a few months for people out there. Probably yeah. a bunch of poker players sitting on a big pile of cash, you know?
Yeah. 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 I think of the three things, you know, real estate, stocks, and owning a business, I think real estate's the easiest. You just buy a place and then someone pays you rent and pays it off for you. And then after that, you just get a check every month free and clear. It's about as easy as it gets. You know what I mean? It's not like the home's going to go away or anything. I mean, people always need a place to live.
Sounds like at least with a place in Vegas, you got lucky. You got someone who's very low maintenance. I mean, you could get one person there who gets in and just refuses to pay. It takes a long time to get someone out, probably.
In Vegas, it's pretty easy. You can do it in about a month. In California, it's more difficult. There's a lot more like laws, and they have different squatting laws and like that. But in Vegas, it's pretty quick.
I had a buddy in Connecticut who owned a place, and you know, there was all sorts of rules. Two people could live there, and like the very first day, they see him like bringing a bed into the garage.
Uh-oh.
Like they lived in the adjacent home, and it was like, and it's like, get out of our house. And they were like, wait a second, you can't get away from our home. We put signed the lease or whatever. Like you can tell like professional victims are already like, you know, studied their rights forever. And they immediately claimed harassment or failure to, and just stopped paying. And I want to say it took over 6 months to get them out, and you actually had to pay them to get out.
Wow.
Like that was part of the negotiation. Okay, if you leave by July 1st, I'll give you your security deposit back in a month or something like that. So it was a big hassle, and there was like 6 months or more where no money at all from the property.
My folks had a I remember as a kid, they bought a rental property, and they it kind of put a bitter taste in their mouth about real estate for that. And it took me 15 years later getting a rental property and then getting another one and then getting kind of get their feet back into it. I said, okay, we'll buy this next one halfers. You know, you guys own half and I own half, and maybe that'll kind of get you back into it. And it did. After that, now they've got a couple other places in Vegas. But yeah, they had a horror story. I'll never forget. This guy moved in. He seemed real nice. I even remember his name, Steve Wagner. And after about 6 months, he was one of these professional victims like you're talking about. And so he knew the law to a T, and so he knew that if he paid exactly 1/3 of the rent each month, that you can't evict him or whatever the law was at that time. This was back in the 90s. And yeah, it took about 6 months. And finally, you know, once my dad had jumped through all the hoops, then he showed up 6 months later with a policeman and said, okay, you got 20 minutes, you know, however long it takes me to change all these locks to get your shit out. So the guy got most of his belongings, you know, that he wanted out of there. And then that was it. Lock the house.
You always get a victory in these things if you're the owner, but it, you know, so you get that sweetness at the end to see some asshole leaving your house. But, yeah, it is a pain in the butt, at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah. But in Vegas, it's not like that. Like, I had a tenant, boy, this lady was a nightmare. She was Section 8, like government subsidized,
sure.
So basically she only had to pay $130 a month, and then the government paid the extra $700 or whatever for rent. And oh man, I had no idea she was a drug addict or any of this. And yeah, she was flushing needles down the toilet. Wow. And it was just bad.
How was she in bed, Steve?
Okay,
just curious. You know, so nasty. I mean, she's gotta pay up somehow if she doesn't have cash for rent.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But then another one, Cynthia, and my other place, she's been there for 12 years. Sweet lady. You know, once every 3 months or something, if there's a leaky faucet, send a guy over there to fix it. And that's it. You know, I mean, I think in like 12 years, I'd raise the rent $20 or $30. That's it.
How much did you pay for the place, and how much is it worth right now?
Let's see. I paid one, what did I pay? 106 for it. Now it's probably worth, I don't know, 130, 140 or something, but it's paid off. And I basically, after property management and everything, I get $500 a month. Just
okay.
Just to check.
I would think it would have appreciated more in that time. That's not a huge bump, but it is a nice safe investment, like you said, because if you sell it, you just, man, that's a deposit almost on $1 million home there, Steve. You could really be pimping now.
I could. I don't want to sell it. First of all, because it's basically just $6,000 a year for doing nothing. And it's my contingency plan just in case the shit hit the fan and I had to completely start over from scratch. You know, if at work I fell through a roof and I couldn't work anymore, I could sell my other two places. Actually, I'd probably sell one, rent that one out, rent the other one out, and then I would live in a place for free. I'd basically pay $300 a year in taxes. I could play cards, and then I could have rent coming in from the other one, be getting about $1,000 a month there. And, you know, I could survive. I could start over there and make ends meet. But if I sold it, then I don't know, that safety net goes away. Maybe that's just, maybe
a good, nice hideaway, Steve. If you ever decide to become a Vegas pimp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Low key, hit the street hoe. You ain't coming back unless you got $500 in your pocket. No.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I guess that is an option. I could sell it, but I really don't want to. I think I'll just keep it.
It's weird, Steve. Even anywhere occupying your brain is like this is my backup plan. This is my desperate plan. I didn't think you could even imagine scenarios where you're not continually growing professionally and financially. But I guess somewhere behind, maybe I've helped you here, Steve. Catastrophe is always out there, man.
Just constantly implanting doubt into my mind.
I mean, we all love your childlike glee and your laughter, Steve, but you know, there needs to be some balance there, maybe.
Yes.
What else is new here? I don't know. I haven't been I got to give myself a pretty poor grade for sticking up with the diet here. I've got to, I don't know if you remember, I lost 20 pounds in a month.
Yeah.
And I've probably put on I don't even want to get back on the scale. I was up 3 or 4 pounds from my low about a week ago, and I haven't stepped on because I know I'm a few more pounds. I'm pretty good about not eating in the morning till I'm really truly hungry. And I'm eating a lot, but I have avoided the red meat for whatever that's worth.
What, you have Audible, right? Where you can listen to books?
Yeah.
You got to listen to 4-Hour Body. I've been doing that program, and in there, there's diet and exercise. Actually, he even goes pretty detailed into how to please women sexually. That section is very interesting. But I've mainly been doing the diet and the workout, and as far I don't really have much to lose. So around my waist, I've lost half an inch. My arms are basically the same size. Both my thighs are 2 inches bigger in circumference now, which I thought was interesting. But my as far as fat loss and that, I have lost about 2%. I got the calipers at home. I've been keeping track. But what I've really noticed is strength increase. Holy God. With this shoulder injury that I've got, I mean, it's impressive what I'm able to lift just by following this guy's protocol.
What is your body fat?
11%.
Oh,
I started a month ago. It was 13.
The 4-Hour Body. That's what it's called.
That's what it's called. Yeah. Yeah. Great book. Great. I've listened to it probably 4 times, and I've got 2 interns at work now that I'm on light duty and driving a Prius. I've got 3 interns now, actually. And I got them on the program too. And one kid, we did the same workout yesterday that we did 1 week prior, and he increased his weight in some exercises by 10 pounds in 1 week.
Hmm.
I mean, it works. It works really well. The key to it, though, is you have to work out like with weights, like doing squats or, you know, like a squat curl press, something like that. You have to work out to the point of failure. And to the point of failure is you're lifting the weight and the weight is no longer going up, even though in your mind you're like, this should be going up right now, but it's not. You can't physically lift it anymore. Then you hold it in that position for about 5 seconds. And then you slowly, slowly, slowly over the next 5 to 10 seconds, put the weights down. It's not like you're one of those bodybuilders that you just drop the bar, you know, none of that. So you work out the muscle to the point of failure like that. And then you do not do any more weights for 3, 4, sometimes 5 days. And then you do it again. And so the science behind it is all those reps that you're doing before that last failure rep, they're just kind of getting you warmed up and to the point of failure. But where you're really building the muscle is that last one where you're pushing and it's not going up. You're creating little microscopic tears in your muscles. And after right. exercise, your body basically says, oh my God, we were not prepared for this. We have to rebuild and get ready for the next one so that doesn't happen again. Well, little does it know, 5 days later, you're just going to add 5 pounds and do it all over again. But
right. I think those ones at the end, I used to call them when I went had my little weight lifting thing is negatives. I don't know if that's the right. Because you could no longer lift, you know, you could no longer bench press. So whoever your workout partner lifts it for you.
Yeah.
Fight it and let it down as slow as possible or pretty slow, you know. So that was a lot of times. Yeah, I think that's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Carlos said when this book came out, like in 2011, he was really into it. You know, he used to play football and stuff. And he said he was deadlifting something like 400 pounds or something. I'm like, oh my God, that's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think I bench pressed one day. I was working out with this guy for a while. This was probably when I was like 30 though. So, I mean, I guess I was working for the post office already getting kind of fat. So I could sort of had a little extra weight there, but this guy was on steroids and stuff and pushing. And I didn't do that, but I think at one point I could like bench like 280 pounds.
Wow.
Which with my natural build and long arms and skinny, you know, small wrists and stuff, it was kind of, I thought that I was definitely getting strong, I guess is my point. But,
yeah.
Yeah, just being, if you're sore the next morning, then you've done your job.
Yeah, with these
because workouts, you need to be making those little micro tears, like you said. That's where the whole growth comes through.
Yeah, yeah, you got to break the muscle down, and then it'll rebuild itself. With these workouts, I'm sore for about 3 days. It's
here's where I'd like to be an expert, especially now that I'm 47. I know my body. You know, these little recovery periods could be 2 weeks from like a serious leg workout, you know, like other different, you know, go to Vitamin World and know there's probably some ways to, you know, improve recovery and all that sort of thing.
The, another big thing in the 4-hour body too, is he says 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking up. And so that's basically 5 eggs. I was kind of in a hurry this morning, so I just drank them, but my normal breakfast would be 5 eggs in the skillet, throw in some spinach, top some beans off, and then do a tablespoon of olive oil. And it's volume wise, you kind of have to eat a lot of food because a lot of the foods that you're eating aren't very calorically dense. You know, I mean, if you take a bowl full of spaghetti noodles, that's probably 300 or 400 calories. But if you do the same with spinach and broccoli, it's like 70.
Right.
You know, so you volume wise, you have to consume a lot. Yeah, it seems to be working, and it's working with the kids that I'm training. There is something about that, though, the 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking up. I had to completely change my schedule and my workout routine, because normally what I'd do is I'd wake up at 5 in the morning. I would stretch and work out for about an hour to hour and a half, and then I would have breakfast. And now I have to have breakfast, and then you don't feel like working out 20 minutes after consuming a giant meal like that, so I got to work out later in the day.
Right.
But it does seem to work. There's something about that. It makes you less hungry throughout the day. You know, so by having that protein right after you get out of bed, I seem to eat less during the day.
This would be a good conversation with Carlos. We watched a video, my retention for these things or not, but basically this was a vegan or plant only person. Because you'll hear a lot of vegan or people who listen about the vegans like, listen, I need my protein. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose muscle. And this guy was explaining that's a complete fiction. you can be eating all plants and be actually gaining muscle. So I can't remember the exact explanation. Well, first of all, when you're on the plant diet, you can eat your ass off if you're avoiding certain, you know, just avoiding, you're eating always non-calorically dense stuff, but you're supposedly, there's one guy who was like a weightlifter, actually massive, who said he had nothing but vegetables. So I don't
know.
I can't remember. I can't remember why exactly. It is basically whatever sort of, or maybe it's, you can maintain whatever muscle mass you have just by eating well. You know, I'm guessing if you want to become a power lifter and had to eat more, you would need a shitload of veggies, you know, kind of thing. But
yeah,
I don't remember, but basically they had, this was a pro vegan video, and you know, they had some like professional athlete kind of guys. They even had an NFL player who was a vegan, who was talking, and he just said once he started doing this, he became stronger.
Wow.
So okay. Basically, Steve, you got an expert book, and there's 20 similar expert books of people who generally want to see people get better. But basically, exercise and watching what you eat, which sounds like the 4-day diet. It's just the 4-hour body. But there's other wisdom elsewhere.
True. This is just the one that's worked for me. That this injury has been a blessing in disguise. I probably never would have picked up that book if I hadn't. Gotten injured, and it's completely
Steve. I have the blessing in disguise. Sorry.
It's certainly interesting. I gotta send you a video of my shoulder. It's like the collarbone is sticking up about an inch and a half from where it should be, and you can start to see the little striations in the muscles that are growing and reattaching to it. It's the mechanics are all different. It's I'm becoming like left side dominant now. With strength stuff like bowling, you know, throwing a ball. I'm more accurate throwing a ball now with my left arm than I am with my right. It's been an interesting injury.
Yeah. God, Steve, I wish I had your cheery attitude. I got to shave it in my arm. Yeah, it's all out of place, you know. But you can. that's a good. Steve, we almost went by there. You mentioned quickly you have some business to take care of with your ex.
Yes.
I assume this is the lawyers taking care of business. This isn't you guys getting on the phone to figure something out.
No, this is paperwork on the back end. That, you know what it is? It's no different than dealing with the DMV. You know, it's like I keep sending paperwork to try to close shit out. And, you can't fax it. Oh, okay. Well, what form do you need it in? We need it in a scanned email. All right, scan all the stuff, send it over there. Don't hear anything from 2 weeks. Yeah, we're still processing. Oh, you can't email it. Oh, what the fuck? I just one gal said I could fax it, so I did. Then that didn't work. Then one gal said I could email it, and then that didn't work. And then, so what do I got to do? Well, you got to come in here physically and bring it to us. Well, that would have been nice to know a year ago when instead of going back and forth, it's just like the DMV. You go to window 3, and then they tell you to go down to window 12 after you've waited in line for 20 minutes, and then they tell you to go back to window 3. It's just, I just have to physically go down to the office and just be like, okay, here, what do I have to sign? What do I got to do?
She hasn't sent some sort of curveball, like hired a forensic accountant who claims that you lied on this form.
No. I haven't heard from her in 6 months. This is just on my end, wrapping up some paperwork. And it, and I'm basically dealing with the DMV to do it. That's what it boils down to.
Well, you know, Steve, we haven't really gone into the details of it. We can do it now of her, where we both pretty strongly believe that she was trying to poison you.
Yeah, you know what? Let me wrap up this paperwork first, and then we'll air it all out.
But, I mean, it is, all the details are fascinating. I mean, like, just she's living in the house and you're... Yeah, bizarre.
One of the most stressful times of my life.
Someone trying to kill you? Yes.
Yeah.
And having to live with them.
It was 2020, and you were right. I should have taken that bottle, had it tested, had my blood drawn, and maybe that would have... maybe I could
have... Yeah, at the time, you were just... Yeah, you were more focused on... Thank God she's going to be out of the house quick. Let's just suck it up and just deal with it until then.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'll just get all my food from outside, and then just the less I'm there when she is and the less she's there when I am, let's just get through this and get done. And then now that I'm looking back on it, you know, a year later, it's like, wow, if she really did, I mean, maybe she just dumped an entire bottle of Visine in there or something, and it was nothing that was going to kill me. I don't know, but I don't know. I'm sure a science lab for $200 could have found out, you know?
Right.
But, oh, well. So what do you got going on this weekend? Just playing cards?
Yeah, Steve, I still haven't done my taxes for last year.
Oh, Jesus.
And, you know, I have just pushing things off just creates, I mean, it's been constant stress for months. Would have been easier probably just to do it in April. That's when my father had his heart attack. So that's my, you know, to get an extension.
Yeah.
But literally, I'm so confused over this. First of all, Coinbase hasn't sent me my financial records. I've asked for them and they just won't help you, which they have to, I would think, legally do. You're entitled to all that stuff. Hmm. But basically, I'm worried I'm going to be paying like Bitcoin is going to be looking like 30K. Long story short, I could be like doing anything between getting like $6,000 back from the government to like having to pay 15. I have no clue. So if I have to pay money, I really don't have any. So it'll be like, okay, I need to work out a payment plan with my.
Yeah, I can. I don't know.
Yeah, this is pretty much, I've had some credit card debt for the first time in 8 years. I just don't, technically I sort of have enough to pay it off, but it would push my cash supply so low that I'm in, you know, it would put me in desperate straits and a panic there. So, yeah, I think this is the first time in like forever that I've, you know, carried credit card debt and just, well, I'm just going to pay minimum payment and let it sit there and because I want to hold on to my cash. So, anyways, I got to do the tax. I think even if you get an extension, they have to be done by October 1st.
You're not the
person to ask, Steve. You would never ask for an extension there. But,
What is it? I heard someone say this and it was...
I've never done it before. I've always paid mine on, but...
What did he say? He said, the thing that you fear the most is ironically what you most need to do. And I think the fear for you in the taxes is just the unknown. You like you said, you could be getting back $6,000 or you could have to pay 15. You just don't know. No, but at least getting it done, you'll know. And that unknown stress will go away and you'll either get a smiley face with a check for $5,000 or a sad face with a bill for $2,000 or whatever it is. But
just get it done. Yeah. We've taken the unknown out of my Bitcoin existence here, at least for, you know, but and that's already, like I said, helped. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember. Maybe it was you who told me this. I have another buddy who's kind of into the self-help thing, or this is not something I would find on my own. But basically someone said, you go to bed and you got your list of things to do for the next day. Always start off with the one you least want to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, so I should have been getting up every morning. Like, that's been on my list for a long time.
Yeah. Do you have a CPA? You got a guy that does your taxes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if I got the best in the world here. We'll have to see. Like, if somehow it has to, it feels like it just has to be a year where I pay little in taxes last year. Since I, like I said, I was down $42,000 in live tournaments and had to take money out of my postal retirement thing just to like survive the year. So I'm guessing that I'm kind of in a panic. I'm overly panicked about the results of this. But either way, yeah, the unknown, like you said.
I do that every night before I go to bed. I make a list for the next day. And I'm staring at it now, actually. After we're done, I can check off the podcast on the list.
Tell Mike he's a loser, and then you have in parentheses, gently. Thank you, Steve, for being so detailed in your note-taking. I'm trying to lighten your load, though. So what else do I want to talk about? The other thing, Steve, we've been talking about me trying to get a woman here. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I went to lunch the other day with Alex, and I was talking about, hell, you know, I'm talking about how I get a woman, and I'll get into this in a second, but he's like, well, why don't you just make that a job for the year, like making money at poker? Mm. Like it's going to spend, he's like, well, women don't care about losing the weight. You know, you're fine there and your looks, but this is about your confidence. So you need to lose the weight and then you got to invest X number of hours a week in finding a woman, whatever the best, however breaking down that time is. Maybe I'll talk about that in a second with you, but How did I start the conversation? I wanted to say something else about women.
Getting a girl?
I don't know. I'm all over the place as usual, Steve, here. But yeah, take kind of a businessman approach to there. And I don't know what that would be. The online thing, Steve, I kind of do that like 2 hours a month, maybe. No, not even. 30 minutes a month, someone's talking about online dating at the poker table, and I pull out my Tinder app and swipe a few. And I don't think I've gotten a result yet.
Okay.
A return. So it's funny. I had one woman there who was, I said, can you look at this? What's wrong with my profile here? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had kind of one picture with me, but you want to show that you're social and like that you have other, you're not a solitary man, which of course I pretty much am. But, you know, I like showed a picture of Greece. Oh, he's traveled, probably get some money. And, you know, I got a picture with my son, of course, good father, which is all true. Mm-hmm. Then I have a picture with me and a poker trophy. Like that's the gem of the one. I think looks pretty cool because I say professional poker player.
Yeah.
And this woman's like, oh, you need to take that down immediately.
Really?
And she's like, women are really terrified of men who are gambling, especially, you know, like an older woman. She's not going to want it. I'm like, well, this is how I'm going to play poker tournaments every year. I like fucking trophies. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
But if it's preventing you from getting that initial contact stuff done, you know,
maybe she was just projecting her own fear.
That's possible. But, you know, I understand, you know, Steve, you're still going after the young chicks. They just want to have fun, right?
You know, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I am attracted to younger women, but I found like, I don't know, after a little while, you kind of realize that they're just in a completely different world. It's a different generation. You know, they, right. You and I grew up, you know, before the internet even existed, and to them, they don't even know that, you know, they can't imagine not having an internet or a smartphone, or, you know, to go out and like leave your phone in the car while the two of you are on a date is just terrifying to them, you know, like,
right. I mean, it just like, let's just put it this way. A younger woman would like, if you said you're a professional poker player, would be like, whoa, cool. Can you teach me to play?
Yeah.
Where an older woman's like, well, how do you pay for health insurance? Do you own your home? So I think the older women are more into the practical stuff. So the poker thing does not have, you know, I don't know. That's my little theory on it there. Maybe this is just a justification for going after younger women. Barton-esque view. But it is kind of, I'm kind of the man child anyways, which like I said, like younger women kind of find fun, you know, and interesting. And
yeah.
Older women are just like, yeah. Especially women who've already had children.
47, you look like you're in your mid-30s. So.
Right. And, but also, yeah, personality-wise, a very festive man, Steve, as you've seen, sure. In personal.
Oh, yes.
But what was I going to say here? You know, I just think like, yeah, for older women, they're like, especially if they've had kids, they're like, I've already had a child, for God's sakes. Am I going to really deal with, you know, this guy bouncing around like he's, you know, a 14-year-old? Anyway, Steve, don't be, the 6 hours a week, let's just say that's the number. I don't know where I came up with that. I don't really like bars, but I have a couple. I have my bar friend. Like, that would be a good investment to, like, at least two or three times a month go out to a bar with him, right?
Yeah.
I like to the day game, as the pickup people say, right? That's really hard to develop for most men. Isn't it? I mean, most people are just because it takes a little more courage than just getting online, or when you've had a couple drinks, you know, where it's a naturally festive, where if, yeah, you're in a bar, people are naturally going to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And online is pretty, you know, any half coward can get in there and just type something. But just to approach women at the grocery store during the day, Steve, that takes, yeah, an extra level of confidence, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. But once you get past it, I think it's the easiest one to do. Because, okay, when you're in Target and you see a woman that you're attracted to, it's, you know, once you get over that initial fear, just walk over and you know, say, how's your day going?
And you immediately scream of confidence, too, because, like I said, it is probably more difficult for people to make social contact in that, you know?
Yeah, I think you just got to get it into your head that 7 or 8 out of 10 times, she's not going to be interested. She's going to be married or have a boyfriend or just, you know, just, she's just not feeling it. Okay, well, 2 or 3 times out of 10, it does work. And you might get her phone number.
So, right.
Even when they're not interested, I still feel like it's a good experience because, you know, it's at least now you know, you can walk out of Target knowing that the one girl that you were attracted to in there, you approached and you found out she had a boyfriend and so nothing was going to happen anyways. At least you know. But when you walk out of Target and you're like, damn it, I am never going to see that girl again. And I mean, that feeling, like, to me is just, yep. It just, yeah, it sucks, you know? So at least you know. And it's good for her too. You know, it's a string of confidence. When she goes back to her boyfriend that night, she's like, this guy was interested in me in the Target, you know? So it kind of builds her up too, even if she is, you know, taken.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll see. I have an excuse to kind of be in a holding pattern before I aggressively pursue the wife thing. But if I want a wife, Steve, and it is cruel to say, I also want a wife for companionship principle. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to keep playing poker, man, it would help to have someone to share some rent with.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to get married to do it.
Right. But it is a woman who's going to, she's not going to be changing me. Let's put it that way. Not that you can change anybody.
Yeah.
But,
change on their own.
If you're saying my daddy can get you a job, I mean, no, this is, I love this schedule now. Play with my kid during the day, go to work at 6 a.m., at 6 p.m., come back at 3 a.m., watch a movie.
Yeah.
Get high. You know, it really is just, I get to be a college freshman again, pretty much.
Pretty much.
I mean, just loafing around. And
yeah. I haven't noticed with the poker thing though, with the older women, that most of them, now I'm in a different situation because about 15% of my income for the year comes from playing cards. For you, it's 100, you know, so maybe that doesn't like trigger the gambling thing in them. I don't know. After my ex, I realized that if a woman has problems with professional gambling or gambling at all, then I just look at that as a red flag, like we're not compatible, because for now until the day I die, I mean, if I'm a betting man, I'm going to be gambling for my entire life. You know, if I see an edge, how can I not bet it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of it, maybe just men and women are different. Like if there's been a couple times where there's like a couple I start talking to, and this actually happened just a little while ago when Jonah did his manners camp. I forget what it was called. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we talked about Jonah doing that, where you learn how to set a plate and how to waltz and, you know, pull out chairs for ladies and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, geez, I could
use. There was a couple there. They're probably in their 30s and talking with the guy about, you know, a professional. I play poker for a living. And you could tell he's a guy who's a businessman. You could tell by his car and everything. He probably makes $500,000 a year.
Okay.
But his job in his mind is hard, where poker players, you know, we're kids having fun, you know?
Yeah.
Which is pretty much what it is. But anyways, then his wife came over. He's like, because they like to play poker and they have a home game. I actually took my number, but or he has a home game every now. He's like, this guy's a poker player. You can tell he was all excited. And she was like, oh, interesting. You know what I mean? She's not going to be asking the details, like, oh, where do you play? You know, tournaments, you know, like guys who are older and excited, you know, but.
Yeah. Is it a juicy home game? Like, what's the limit, you know?
I'm sorry?
What, is it a juicy home game? What's the limit?
No, I got a set sense it was just a small game, you know.
Oh, what
I
mean? Okay.
But they play with their wives too, apparently. So I don't know. Right. He plays with his wife. I'm not sure how often it was. I didn't like really dig for details, but wasn't thinking money. I know they live like Santa Barbara or something, which is too far for me to go to play poker, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, maybe it's an overgeneralization, Steve. I don't talk to people other than you, so what am I talking about? But I know, yeah, on a personality level, for whatever reason, like younger women. I mean, my ex-fiance was like 15 years younger. I mean, there's the younger women seem to find me interesting because I'm kind of the childlike thing. Like, you know, like I've done, gone and done karaoke. I think I've mentioned this once, and it was like three guys and their wives, and I'm singing. I had the guy singing along with me, and like, and the wives were just kind of looking at me like, oh man, who's this guy? I mean, like literally I could have convinced all these guys to like quit their jobs, leave their wives and move to Vegas with me. I think they were so loving my company. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. The wives are looking at you like a
like I think the women were like, oh, this is this going to be hanging at the house here? Are they gonna buy, is my husband gonna buy a karaoke machine so we can relive this magical moment?
You know, I would say, Mikey, as far as the women go, like, what's something that are there any women at the card room that you find attractive? Or
yeah, there's a few.
I mean, basically, you want to be meeting women that have a common interest,
right? Yeah, the card room would make sense there,
right?
Yeah,
that one. What's another example? I don't know. Like, if you like hiking or something, you know, join a hiking club, and that's just naturally going to put you in situations with, you know, women or groups of women, and there you already have a common interest right there. So there's immediately rapport is built without you having to do anything.
There is, of course, a couple hot single moms at my son's school.
Okay, there we go.
And I think a couple of them, like that window of opportunity to go up and talk to them has passed. Like you said, it's got to be quick, right? There's been one mom who's just, she does, I mean, she wants me to ask her out, Steve. She's disappointed. She's disappointed in my passivity, but it's been like the last 2 years, like every few months, we're just bumping out there and kind of just talking about nothingness. And yeah, I just see like the problems, you know, like I'm like, what if this didn't work? And I'm like, this one woman, I'm like, she just reeks of money. Ooh. She's got no ring on. I don't know what she does, or her probably got divorced and the husband left her with a nice big house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I gotta put myself out there, Steve.
Yeah. The one that's been wanting to ask her out, are you attracted to her?
Yeah. She's like super hot. She's like a 10.
Jesus, dude. Yeah. Just, I mean, this is all you got to do is you just say, you know, the next time you see each other, say, hey, you know, let me, pull out your phone and say, hey, let me get your phone number. I'd like to have a cup of coffee with you. And that's it. And like, as you're pulling it out, you're expecting that she's going to give you her number, and she will.
You don't ask for the number, basically. You just pull the phone out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just quick little small talk and say, hey, Jonah and I got to run. You know, what's your phone number? I'd like to see you over a cup of coffee or something.
Yeah. Those are the two natural. I want to at some point have my friend Paloma on, who's a masseuse there. Oh. And we hang out. She's real interesting, and she can talk about her side of it. But yeah, we had a big hubbubaloo the other day. This was a slow burn. Kind of has to deal with women. There's one woman there. I was like, I mean, Paloma thinks this is humor, but she's obviously, I don't know. She is funny, but there was a woman there who was attractive, and I said to Paloma, "Oh my goodness!" You know, I was playing poker with her. So Paloma, like, later that night, they're in the bar. Because Paloma's very socially skilled. She'll go up and she'll make friends with somebody right away. And she's like, oh, don't worry, Rampage. I got this. I'm going to take care of this. Or I forget. But like within a day of me telling her this, like she's like, okay, I told this woman you loved her. She's a little freaked out. I'm like, Paloma, don't you think this is...
Isn't that a little bit of a stalker creepy vibe?
I'm sure I did that on my own, but yeah, just I should thank her for just killing off any chance right there, because I would end up embarrassing myself, which I mean I did anyways, but
oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, rather than trying to make it difficult, like I'm going to go to hang out at, you know, the high end stores at X and X, you know, at a certain mall, and you know, I can't leave until I get one phone number or something like that. That would be probably. But
are you looking for an exercise to do to kind of?
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, well, like I said, I was arbitrarily just saying, let's say 6 hours a week, and how would you spend that time? And like going out one night a week would be the obvious one.
Yeah.
And then the question is, how much do I want to work on my, you know, my live game or my online game or whatever?
Yeah. Okay.
So what exercises are good, Steve? Just to break the, like I said, it was just meeting women was just so easy when I was for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I would meet him at the gym a lot too.
While, I mean, that part of your life kind of suffered, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Just good looking guy. Well, a lot of time you work in bars and there's just, you know, there's alcohol and like everyone who works in bars, like all the waitresses and everyone just have like a fun, they just don't want the real world. Kind of like the card room, frankly.
Yeah.
Although they're all drunk all the time. So there's that. And then, you know, online when Match.com first came out, man, I was on fire on that shit.
Yeah. I would recommend, like 6 hours might be
low.
I was going to say high, but if you got 6 hours to do, then F it, that's great. I would say, at least, now this is just for me and maybe for you too. I think it's not very efficient on Tinder and Bumble and those. Like you end up finding that you just spend an entire hour swiping and texting four girls and you didn't even get a phone number out of it, or you did and then they don't even answer. And it's like, okay, if I was in Target or the mall, I could have gotten several phone numbers and actually met them in person and see if you have,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? I think it's more efficient to do it.
I think I'm my humor comes off better in person and you know, I'm
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what to do though. But like I did, I told you, Steve, I had sex with three Match.com girls in one day, right?
Wow, no, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, since I might never get laid again, I have to throw that out in the universe. I want my son to hear that one day.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Noted.
Well, you know, I could go into great detail if you want there, Steve. No. What was I going to say about live
breakfast,
versus
lunch, and dinner, all from Match.com?
Yeah, no, one of them, I mean, I'm kind of was the night we did it in the morning. She was the night before.
Okay.
And she was some young chick who worked at Starbucks. I mean, I was probably like 32 at the time and she was young. And then the next woman came down from like 45 minutes a day drove like 45. I think she drove from Spartanburg. I can't remember the geography, but she came down for the day. We went to the beach mm-hmm. and ended up hooking up with her. Mm-hmm. And then this chick went home and I was pretty much calling it a night, but another one I was connecting with wanted to like hang out that night. I'm like, well, I'm doing laundry and cleaning my place, but you're welcome to come over.
Yeah.
And we ended up hooking up too.
Yes. That laissez-faire, like kind of like carefree attitude is so
interesting. You just don't care.
Yes.
Yeah. It really is just, I think it's like I was always in love with one woman. And I mean, I hooked up a fair amount in college, but it was not very. And the first summer after college, when I went to live on Martha's Vineyard, where there's just so many women around, like I was just blowing them off. Hey, let's go here. Let me meet you here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like I did a couple of those where I just forgot about it.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or I had to work late and I'm like, oh, you know, this was pre-cell phone too. Mm-hmm. I think 93 or whatever. So it's like, oh, I can't, you know, I'd feel bad, but I blow a woman. They'd always come and find me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because no one ever does that.
Right. Or you get a woman's number, but you just don't call her, whatever it is, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to get back in that. Yeah, I don't give a shit mode because it's such a, because I do. And it's such, you just feel like you get older, you don't want to play games. But I guess you still got to play games. And I play
games. You know, putting yourself in situations. Like, for example, I went to a beer festival last weekend. Here in downtown. And there was a cute gal. I ended up getting her phone number. I haven't called her. I guess I should. I suppose maybe once a week I just kind of run through the algorithm and get a phone number just to kind of maybe know that I still got it.
Yep.
You know? And I think there's something to that because it is a skill and it can be learned and it can be forgotten too if you don't use it enough. But if you just go to the mall, I mean, this is what I would do when I was teaching this stuff. Go to the mall and just walk up to the girl that, you know, she's looking at clothes you know, on the hanger, like just kind of walk by, look at her, take a dress and like hold it up to her and then put it back on the rack, not saying anything, you know, and then take another one, hold it up to her, put it back, you know, something like that, just to create like a funny dynamic, you know. And then it's just like, hey, I was walking by the store and I saw you. I really have to go, but I'd like to see you again. Pull out your phone. What's your phone number? And then that'll teach you that, Jesus, girls will just give out their phone number like instantly.
Right.
And so that makes you, then when you've got one that you're, you know, maybe you got 10 girls and you're all attracted and you're attracted to each one, but there's that one out of those 10 that you're like, wow, that girl is just dazzling. You know, that way you don't choke in that moment because you've run this process through the computer so many times, it's just natural.
That makes sense, Steve. You might have to come down for a visit here and force me to it.
Bring
your gun. Mike, do you like your kneecaps? Okay. Well, you've got 2 hours to get 2 phone numbers.
We should do that. Is there like a fun place in Oceanside where we could go where there would be a lot of, I mean, I used to teach this stuff and I kid you not, there'd be 5 of us and one guy would have a camera filming the whole thing. And, it still amazes me that women would, maybe they would see it and it was so far out of their reality. Like, is this actually happening? This one guy's talking to me, 4 guys are standing 2 feet behind him and one of them has a camera and they still, I mean, a lot of the guys, one of them ended up getting a girlfriend from that exact scenario. It's like, wow. So it, yeah, it works. And there's something too, like, you know, hey, I got to go. But I saw you and, I'd like to see you again. You know, what's your number? What's your name? Okay. I'll give you a call. And then like later on that date, you know, just text her or whatever, and then give her a call that day or the next or
right.
Whatever. Some guys say to wait like a few days. I think by then, especially with those quick interactions, you kind of have to start texting or calling pretty quickly or they're just going to forget.
Yeah. Target makes sense. I mean, those kind of big stores where there's lots of aisles.
Yeah.
There's places to hide after you embarrass yourself. Yeah. Hopefully a big bucket of beach balls somewhere I can step behind. Yeah, I don't know where the best place with. I mean, obviously there's, depending on the time of year, you can go down to the pier and the beach and that sort of thing. And there's jogging everywhere.
Okay.
Running around. If I were fit and not fat, I couldn't. Yeah, I don't know, Steve. Just, I still think the bars is the easiest one because I'm just used to that. But
yeah, also, you know, also, I mean, I force myself to go out once a week. My time to go out will be tomorrow. That'll be my cheat day. And yeah, the bar is, it's definitely easy because everyone has already gone out to be social. You know, that's kind of their purpose. But there is something about the supermarket too, because it's unexpected. And I think every woman kind of has a little bit of a fantasy of, you know, just meeting their man in a random scenario like that. You know, it's like when women are out shopping, they're kind of foraging.
Right.
And they're out looking for little items to bring back to their nest or to bring back to their family. And if you meet
right.
a scenario like that, it's they don't have.
Will you approach anybody you're attracted to, or do you want like that millisecond where the woman is kind of locking eyes with you and giving you an in?
I do. Kind of, I mean, initially when you're learning it, it's just any woman that you're attracted to. But now I wait for her to kind of tell me, and they'll do it with their eyes.
Right.
You lock eyes and then you keep looking at them until they look away. And there's kind of a timing to it too. When you lock eyes and she locks with you, then you slowly start to smile. And if she's feeling it, she will as well. When she looks away, then I walk up.
And wow. Okay.
Another one too. The another signs. If she's showing her neck, if she's kind of like flipping her hair, you know, to send out those pheromones and that smell. If she like looks at you and then kind of does the back turn, like she turns her back to you. Ironically, that's like a green light. It's. I don't know if what they're doing is like showing you their body, but that I've always read as a green light, and it I've yet to disprove it.
And all this takes a second and a half, but Steve has every millisecond of the transaction here. You've got it figured out what it means.
There's something too, like when you're at one end of the bar and a woman's at the other end of the bar and you lock eyes and you do the little smile and she kind of smiles and looks down at her drink. And then you get up and you start walking over to her, and then she looks back at where you were and there's an empty bar stool. And 2 seconds later, you're standing right next to her and you give her a cheers with your beer glass. Like, that is so uncommon with men. Most guys would look over, see her, and then probably look away before she does, and then look back a minute later, and then look back. And then now all you're doing is just creeping her out. She's like, oh God.
Right.
You know, I'm reading this book right now. Oh, dude, you got to read this book. Oh, a woman told me about it, actually. And she's like, honey, you got to read this book. And it's called A Man's Guide to Women. And it really gives you an insight as to how women think. And like what I was talking about, the shopping, like, why do women like shopping so much? Well, it comes from when we were hunters and gatherers. Men would go out and they would hunt and they would get back as fast as humanly possible. The same thing we do with shopping. We need socks. We go to the closest place that's going to have the cheapest socks. You walk in, you find it, you grab it, you kill it, and you get out. You know, women were gatherers. So they would go, they would leave the camp with their basket and they would go forage. And they would come back with berries. They would come back with maybe stuff that they could make clothes out of. Like, they never knew what it was that they were going to find, but they would go out foraging and looking for it. So that's what shopping is to them. And they would do it in groups, so they would be safer. And if there was a saber-toothed tiger there, there would be 8 women to fight it off instead of only one by herself. It's a really, really interesting book. I might even start with that, dude. Listen to that one. Man's Guide to Women.
Well, I do recognize the come talk to me look, where, or at least you have an opening where she's interested.
Yeah.
So that's a good start, probably.
Yeah.
That one I see still quite a bit too. So I should not throw in the towel here, but I think it is, I need a wife here, Steve, for selfish practical reasons and a bit, you know, for companionship reasons. It's probably not entirely healthy, the life I live here.
I don't want a wife. I want, I do want a partner. I want a companion. It is fun to come home, and there's something about being in one committed relationship where you're focused on learning that one person instead of a game. You know, I do like that a lot, and it's fun. But I'm certainly not ready to get married yet.
Well, no, I wouldn't recommend that to you.
But yeah, I would like to have a girlfriend, and maybe not living together just yet, but something committed and long term would be.
Well, there's no hurry for you, Stephen.
No, there's not.
So who have women have you, anybody new on that we've the last few weeks? I know you just said you got a phone number, but we haven't talked to her yet.
No, I'm probably not even going to call her. I think that was more so practice for me. She lives way down in LA, and. Yeah, whatever. But although she was a dance instructor, which I thought would be interesting, because I really like dancing. No, nothing really. There's.
Well, you don't have to share this information, Steve. There's a special lady. You don't have to talk about your. You have to give us all the details after you bang her, because we're entitled to that now, Steve. We've got to know you a little bit.
I have a couple options, and they're all interesting, one more than others, but we'll see how it goes.
I open up and tell you everything, Steve. And all you have for me is I've got options. Of course, the ex-wife doesn't have any family living here or anything like that.
No,
there's not any little sisters or cousins you could bang.
No, no.
Okay.
No, nor would I want to. Nor would I want to. Well, should we talk poker? We've been talking like over an hour now about I don't even know what. I guess girls. Well, that's a pretty good topic. Every time we talk about women, I get a lot of emails that say like, hey, can you guys talk about pickup more?
Yeah, Steve, let's do more pickup here. Let me try to think here. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've got you coming down here. Just going, I think I talked about the one Uber drive, which I was, again, this is, of course, it's funny now that they got the Uber drivers, but this woman was, yeah, it was great. She's like, well, first of all, she got in the front seat. She's like, can I get some water? I'm hungover. And we had a long drive, so I really got to know. She was interesting. She worked in like the financial industry, but she was also like a rock and roll girl, whatever, you know, partied. Drugs, casual, this and that, but you really smart, you could tell. And then somehow I got on, I was getting her to show me, like, she showed me like naked pics of herself on her phone.
Wow.
While we were driving, or like the half naked, but somehow I was like, oh my God, I'm like, I forget. I was hitting on her and like, you're cute. Da, da, da. I'm like, she's like pulled up her skirt, kind of laughing. Oh, you like this? I'm like, oh my God, you got dimples. And then I'm like, show me some pictures, man. Let me see the bikini shots.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so she was showing me this and like showing me, and she did show me one picture that she'd sexed some other guy with her, with just like the thong underwear, you know,
yeah,
in front of the thing. I'm like, oh, and I swear to God, I mean, if this isn't the biggest opening ever, but I wasn't even thinking of asking her out.
Whoa.
I was like in love, but it was, and then we get like to her place and she's like, well, we got to hang out sometime.
Mm-hmm.
When am I going to see you again? And I'm like, I mean, it was just like absolutely freezing. I mean, this woman was just, yeah, very confident. And I was, I'm ashamed to say, well, I give rides in this area all the time. I'm sure I'll probably pick you up again.
Oh, wow.
That's all I had. And I didn't get the number. And
oh, like, God, dude. Yeah.
This was like, yeah, I mean, I seriously, sadly, I've thought of this. This was probably 2.5 years ago here, 2 years ago.
Okay.
I haven't got over her yet, Steve.
Yeah, we've all got those.
This was my chick. And this was a chick, again, a younger chick who loved the whole poker thing.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. You know, it's,
I'm telling you, bro, pull out your phone expecting that they're going to give you your number, and they will.
Yeah. I mean, that's just gotta be the way. But like, if you're ever talking to a woman, like, where she doesn't think you're trying to seduce her, I think she's like, wait, why isn't this guy throwing himself at me here? You know, I think that is a turn on too, but I can't really fake that. I think that I might have told you the one chick I ever, she was like a model, and like, it, you know, this was this was alcohol involved, but we're at a bar and I'm like, right away, I'm like, okay, this chick's way too hot. And this is like, again, I'm 34 or whatever. And she's probably like, her group of friends are like 21. Mm-hmm. I started hitting on her friend, and okay, friend were laughing, and you know, we're getting a little touchy. And then the hot one's like, I'm not happy right now. Why aren't you talking to me? It's pretty funny. And me and her ended up like making out right in the bar, you know.
So. You and the friend, or you and the hot one?
Me and the hot one.
Oh, okay. You created a little jealousy
there.
I'm like,
oh, you know, I forget. I'm like, you're out of my league. I don't want to waste my time. You're used to men. Just, you know, like, she just grabbed me and started kissing me. it was just like an ego thing for her, though. She had to be the center of the little crew there. She's the one who gets the most male attention. So the fact that I wasn't this one time was a
little blow to the ego.
Yeah, I think that was about it. But if I ever recharge my drinking problem, Steve, that's the way to go. Strip clubs is not the way to go. We've come out with this shtick, Steve, where I'm like party guy going to strip clubs, but it's like the opposite. I haven't gone to one in a couple of years, and if I ever went there, it was out of pure loneliness and desperation.
Yeah.
So stay away from those places. Nothing good can happen there.
Your best case scenario is you get an HJ behind the curtain, and that's about it. But
right. I have dated a couple strippers, and you can get their phone numbers, but they're just, you know.
I have to. You know what? No, I take that back. I've gotten a lot of stripper phone numbers, but I've never followed through. I just.
Right.
Yeah.
They're bad people. I hate to judge, but you know, for the most part, they really are.
I think they've just been dealt a bad hand, and they're dealing with it the best they can. You know, most of them
right.
Have kids, and that's why they're doing it. It's rare that you meet one that's actually like paying their way through dentist school or something with it, you know?
Sure. I mean, it's stupid. You're just getting hustled. Like, you know, this is just embarrassment of my own stupidity. just like the poker player at Oceans that I talk about. I thought I was like good friends with, and I realized I was just a whale that was getting manipulated into like trusting him or whatever, and just could give a lot of money away without giving a shit, you know?
Okay. I don't remember that story.
Well, it's not really an ex. The one guy, the one villain who I've talked about many hands. I mean, I always knew he was an adversary at the table, but on a certain level. I didn't mind giving him money. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I guess he's probably up a good 25-30K on me at that place. He's the only person I think against every other pro there, I'm pretty much break even.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's a couple of the crazy amateurs who always get the best of me but I pretty much played all the pros there to a draw other than this one guy. But anyways, he knows who he is. If he listens to this, he'll take great pride. And yes, you're stupid. I took your money. That's his, that's like his samurai view of a card room where he's just there to kill everybody. So if people get butt hurt over that, well, they should have been paying attention, which is a fair perspective, I guess, from his part. I'm sorry, Steve. I need some more PUA stuff. I got to get organized before this stuff here. Just very specifically, so how'd you get this number the other day? Like, how did that conversation start? You just came over and gave the clicked glasses cheers?
At the beer festival?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. This was a thing where you pay, you get a ticket and they give you a little shot glass, and then you go, you know, they must have 40 or 50 different beer vendors there, and they'll give you 2 ounces of their beer and you drink it, and then you go on to the next one and like that. And she was one of the girls that was passing out the beer, you know, or pouring the beer. It was for Guinness, actually. And anyways, I just saw her and I thought to myself, well, this girl's kind of cute. And so I got the beer, and then the one she gave me, I didn't really care for. So I was like, oh, can I get the other Guinness? I guess Guinness makes like a golden lager or something. And to me, okay, it tasted terrible. And so I tried a little bit of that, and then I was like, oh, can I get another one? So then I just kind of stood by her and we were talking as she was pouring beer for other people. And we talked for a few minutes, and you know, I think, you know, I'm never trying to give off like a needy vibe or anything. It's always like I could be gone in the next 20 seconds. You know what I mean? And kind of that vibe. Anyways, just in the conversation, trying to find things that you can build rapport with, or that you can find some type of connection. And so for us, it was dancing. She was asking, "No, what are you going to do after this?" And I said, "You know, there's a little Latin club across the street. I said I really like salsa dancing. I think I'm going to go over there and, I don't know, go dancing." And she's like, "Oh, that's interesting. I'm a dance instructor." I said, "Really? What kind of dancing?" And so we were talking about that, and you know, just finding a common ground. And then I said, "Well, I'm going to get back to my friends. You know, I'd like to see you again." Pull out the phone. And she gave me her number. And that was it.
Yeah, I like the. I've got something to do here, but I'd like your. Like your number.
It gives them the impression, you know, it's the same principle as if there's a group of girls sitting down at a table, and then you come over to the table, and if you were to sit down in one of the chairs, all of them would be like, oh God, how long is this guy going to be here? Are we stuck with him? Like, what, we don't know.
Right. But
sit down at that same chair and you say, hey ladies, I gotta bounce here in just a second. Then like you clink the glass of you know, the one that you're attracted to, that gives a very different vibe. You know what I mean? It's like, right, okay, I think the pickup artists call it the false time constraint or something like that.
Right.
You know, you don't want to give them the impression that, oh God, this guy just sat down at our table and is he going to be here for the next hour? What if he's not cool? What if he's not safe? You know, all of that. You know, so you kind of give them that, you know, hey, I got to bounce. I got to go. But,
yeah, it probably, especially some of the places like at Target, like you could avoid some just dumb conversations that show you like, hey, so I see you got some batteries in your cart there or something.
You know, you know, you're very spontaneous and humorous and you know, I guess in some moments kind of like I am. And, you know, if you can think, you don't always have to think of something clever and witty, but moments like that will come up. And if they do, you know, take them. But if not, a simple like, how's your day going? And if they just say fine, and then they like don't even look at you, well, that's pretty low interest right there. Move on to the next one.
Right.
But if they're all, if they say good and they turn towards you and say, you know, smile and how's your day going? That's high interest and you stay, you know?
Right.
It's just, as men, we just have to, there's this feeling of rejection that, you know, we're afraid of, and it's natural, it's instinct, because we used to live in groups of 40 or 60 people, and if you got rejected by a girl, you're very likely going to have to stay in the same group with her for the rest of your life. And if she rejected you, then all the other males would know that she rejected you, and it,
right,
you know, that could influence your reproductive success. So in our today's world, that doesn't like logically apply, because we have 7 billion people on this planet. But that instinct is still there. You just have to like unprogram it, you know? And I mean, I still feel it too. And I worked on this part of my life for a decade. But you just kind of learn to that fear's there, and then just fucking do it anyways. You know, it's like that saying was, you know, the thing that you fear the most is ironically the thing you most need to do.
Right. Just, it would be very fun for the podcast, Steve, if I actually went and tried to, like, you get a team.
You get a team? What?
Like you did, like a team of guys to go to the mall with or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you and I could do it for sure easily.
But, you know, just to get some interest, first of all, it'd be great to have some characters like who are much more pathetic than me, just for psychological purposes.
That'd be a good confidence booster.
Go ahead, Stewie. Here's how it's done.
Yeah. You know, there is something to seeing it in action, too. So you and I should do it together. I can show you how it's done, and then it'll click. Like when I was down in Mexico, not last weekend, I think, but the weekend before with my buddy Danny, he was telling me, he's like, yeah, I just, you know, I need to learn dancing, because we're in this salsa club in Mexico. And he's like, I need to learn dancing. I need to learn dancing. I'm like, yeah, dude, dancing is key. Like, women relate dancing to sex, like, hands down. And so if you can move on the dance floor, then you can, yeah, you're halfway there. Basically, just don't say anything stupid and you're in. You know, ironically, men just should probably talk far less.
Okay.
Far more. But at that moment, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, I learned dancing. It took me several years, but it was, you know, I learned down in South America. I went to a bunch of dance classes down there with some of the best dancers in the world. And you pick up pretty quick when you learn from them, you know.
Sure. And
I could tell he wasn't entirely convinced that he needed to learn dancing, because he had to see it happen. So I scanned the room. I found the girl that I was most attracted to. And I put my beer down and I said, all right, Danny, I'm going in. So I walked across the dance floor, walked right up to this girl, and then I said, I held up my hand and I said, ¿Quieres bailar? And, you know, do you want to dance? And then she basically told me in Spanish that, you know, she doesn't know how. And I said, yo tampoco, which means like, I don't either. And then she laughed. And so I took her out to the dance floor and we danced. And she was a decent dancer. I was definitely better than she was, but,
Jesus, Steve, moment, you're such an expert salsa dancer. You can even be slightly disappointed at Latin women who don't dance well enough. That's pretty fascinating to me.
Well, I danced with her for a couple of songs there, and then I walked her back to her seat and thanked her. And then I went back to Danny, and I was like, I knew that he wouldn't truly understand like how important dancing was until I had to deliver in that moment. You know what I mean? Like I had to show him.
Right. Oh, you're talking about, oh, okay.
Dancing does. So I guess the point of this whole story was, if I go down there with you and I show you exactly what I do, that will probably click more than you and I talking about it for a couple hours about it.
You know? I got you. Sure.
You just got to see it. And after 2 minutes, you're like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was just taking the video right behind the chick. That's pretty funny. Now, did you ever get in? You read the all those pickup books that what's his name? What, Schwartz? Not Schwartz.
Neil Strauss.
Neil Strauss. Yeah. Like he was into all the this stuff is old though. All the like, well, actually, you know, magic tricks. So I was, have you ever used that? The magic tricks. I think I've asked you that.
Yeah.
Is that really digging deep in the tank? This would be.
Well, I like magic and I don't do it as much anymore. The last magic trick I did was yesterday. So I guess that's not totally true, but I was doing it, you know, dozens of times a day to anyone that wanted to see a trick. So magic was kind of natural for me because that was something I was already interested in and I enjoy it. And, you know, 96% of the population likes magic. The other 4% were probably duped as a little kid and they hate it. But you know, 19 out of 20 times you've got a receptive audience. And as far as like pickup, it worked pretty well because you've seen some of the tricks I do and it's like David Blaine shit. So it's like, oh my God, this random guy came up. He switched the cards in my hand. I was physically holding them and now they're different. Who the hell is this guy? You know, there's something to having a skill and enjoying it and being good at it that is an attractive quality for men and women. And I just happen to like magic, so it worked really well for me. I don't have to use magic, and I don't do it as often anymore. But if I'm going out, I always take a deck of cards because I know there's probably a 50% chance that they'll come in handy at some point, you know, in a group setting or something. It allowed me an easy in to be able to approach a group of women with like maybe the one security guard guy, the guy friend that's been their friend for 5 years and just waiting for, you know, someday she's gonna realize that I'm the one and she's gonna like me, realizing that he's in the friend zone and he's never gonna get out.
Right.
It gives you an in to that crowd. You go up, you befriend the guy real quick with the by fooling one of the girls with a magic trick, all of a sudden you're part of the group and now it's you know, you're able to make contact with the girl, whereas otherwise you wouldn't have been able to. You know, I can still do that without the magic tricks, but it's just fun.
I think in that book, I remember the words chick crack. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. Like stuff that chicks like, that like, if you know tarot cards and that sort of thing and magic, they're all deeply entertained by that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It, yeah. Yeah. It definitely gives you an in, you know, it lets them know real quick that you're safe. And, that's another thing in that book, A Man's Guide to Women. They're like, women feel fear and sometimes even fear for their life very often. You know, I mean, as a man, like I'm trying to remember the last time I felt fear for my life. And it was, it was something like, it was when I was
in the ocean and worried that there might be sharks below.
Okay, that could be one. The one that's coming to my mind now was I was lost in a fire. I was in a house fire and I thought I was lost. It only lasted about 30 seconds, but I was like, this could really be it, you know? So that was the last time that I felt real fear. But women will feel this all the time. When they're walking across like a dark parking lot, they'll feel fear like that. When they see a creepy guy at the bar, the guy that basically stares at her 8 times and doesn't go over and say hello, they feel real fear. So safety is like a huge concern among women that men just naturally don't feel as often.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the opposite, is terrify them and take over.
No.
No, okay. No, I didn't actually.
Doing things like, scaring your girlfriend twice a day, like by popping around the corner, probably not the best thing to build attraction, you know. And I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I did that so many times. Poor thing. Because they feel fear more than we do, and it lasts longer. For us, when we feel fear, we usually turn it into anger. And, think about the last time a guy cut you off. Like, what the hell? What an asshole. Like, you feel anger. They feel fear. And then if you react to that even more, like by honking or something, now they're afraid of you. Like, that's the last thing you got to do, you know, somebody cuts you off and your girl's in the car, put your hand on her thigh and slow down.
Right. Okay. I get this mostly here. I don't know. I think just building confidence again.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I got to come down. Okay. So next weekend we're doing Vegas.
Right.
The weekend after that, maybe we could do it in Vegas. We're going to be grinding though. The weekend after that, I have my stocks class. The weekend after that, I think I'm going to Mexico. Maybe we could do it the one after that. I'll fly down to Oceanside and we'll just spend the weekend down there.
Weekend, Steve. I think we need like 3 weeks with me just to make like a little baby step.
You know what? You
should probably one half of a baby step.
Monday through Wednesday or something like that instead of
whatever. Whenever you get a chance. I appreciate the help. I gotta lose some weight in the interim. It seems have you at this point, I know you said sometimes that the generational thing with the young women. It's not like I target young women, but there is definitely the point here where it's kind of funny how you said sometimes you go out just to like know you still have the skill.
Yeah.
I think I bragged when I was like 40 years old, I did hook up with like a 19-year-old. And like the next year, I remember hooking up with a girl who was like a sophomore in college. And like this was the thing. I think once a year I had to go hook up with like a college age chick till I was like 40 just to prove I could do it, you know?
Okay. Okay.
But there is sort of a breaking point where you're just freaking out like 99% of it. I think I got there about 3 years ago and or longer than that and just haven't quite realized it. Where I am now, actually, I don't know if you've had that where you've gone up and approached a woman who's like, just looks at you like an old dude. Like, why is this guy talking to me? You wouldn't give a shit. You would just move on. Okay.
I can't recall one at the moment, but there is, you know, like there are girls that are very young and they are attracted to older men.
And, right. Well, that's true too. Yeah. You know, I've seen.
Yeah. I mean,
I've seen some guys my age at the casino come in with their younger women. So it's not, no reason to throw in the towel there.
No, I mean, I'm, this is just quick poker math, but I would say probably 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 6, girls like men that are significantly older than they are.
Okay. And that's a good number. That's a lot. Lots of options there.
Yeah. I mean, 15%, something like that.
So on a Friday night, if you go out tomorrow night, do you kind of go for do you go straight from do you look for the rugged fireman look, or do you kind of have your metrosexual, your nice shoes and your good watch on if you were to go out on a Friday night, like for happy hour?
It depends. Like what I'll do. Usually I just got regular shoes on. This time of year, probably a nice pair of shorts and a nice shirt. Know what colors go good with you. For me, blue, gray, brings out my eyes. Red and yellow probably isn't a great color for me.
Okay.
But blues and grays. Yeah. So dress nice, be, well-kempt, look like, you've had a haircut in the last, couple weeks. If you haven't, then at least trim around, your neck so you don't have the werewolf, coming up on your neck and, throw on a shave, or sometimes I'll just run the clippers over my beard if I haven't shaved in several days. So I kind of got the 5 o'clock shadow look. It be well groomed, smell good hygiene, and above all that, a smile. You want to be having fun. You're not out there, it should be a fun experience, and they could feel it. You know, that's one of the main keys I learned with dancing. Smile. You may be self-conscious and you may be offbeat a tiny bit, but if you got a cheeser on your face, then they're having fun and you're having fun.
Poker, dancing, flying, hunting. Steve, you do it all, man. Cooking. The cooking thing we haven't talked about. You've got to actually get a date for that. But that is gold. That I can you don't have to explain that to me. I know that would be a huge turn on for women.
Yeah. Yeah. The cooking is a big one. Just have one meal that you can make well, and that'll be more than enough.
Did you is your I think you've said before your original favorite pickup artist was David D'Angelo?
He's the one that I absorbed the most material from, but ironically, a lot of the material that he put out was from other other pickup artists. So he would, he was basically a master marketer, and
okay.
He would get these guys to come in, and he would say, you know, we'll do this interview, and you know, I'll give you 20% or whatever he did. I don't know what his deal was, but you know, every month he would just have different systems and interviews with guys, and I learned a lot from him. Yeah, he was a good one. If you're looking for material, what's the best one? You know what, honestly, dude, remember you were asking me about the meditation hypnosis thing?
Right.
I would look up a guy who has a meditation system for picking up women. And specifically for approaching women that you're attracted to. And so you listen to this enough times, you know, I don't know, it may take a week, it may be 2 weeks or whatever, but just do it every night before you go to sleep or after lunch or whatever works for you. And it'll start programming your computer to just naturally walk up and talk to women that you're attracted to and to not do that with women that you're not attracted to. And because I think that's a common problem too, is a lot of guys are like, oh, well, she's too hot for me, so I got to go for this one. Even though I'm not really attracted to her, like the hot one would never go for me. Well, you don't know that. Like, I remember I had a kid that was Indian. And he's like, yeah, well, blondes just don't like Indians. I'm all, what? He's all, yeah, blondes don't like Indians. I'm like, okay, well, are you high? Like, okay, let's go do this. And then, so we walked up to like four blondes in the mall. And I said, are you attracted to Indian men? No. We go to the next one. Are you attracted to Indian men? Yes. And as soon as she said yes, like his eyes just widened and he couldn't believe it. It just shattered his whole paradigm right there. You know, you just don't know, you know, maybe, I mean, I've seen some fine women with just fat dudes. Like, okay, she likes the big boys. All right, maybe it makes her feel safe. I don't know, but yeah, anything's possible.
Well, perhaps Steve will have reports from the front line here. If we ever actually, we've been talking about this for a couple of years here. You helping me with the women here, but it's time to leap into action here. At some point.
Yes, we got to do it. Maybe if we both bust a tournament Friday night or something, we'll just go out to. Go out to the mall in Vegas or something, and we can run it there.
Okay, Stevie.
Yeah, you ready to call? Jesus, we've been going almost 2 hours here.
Yeah, no. Oh, is this the first show we've actually made it without having to discuss a hand?
Because I think so. I have two pulled up, but I feel like I could save it for next week.
I've been fantasizing about this moment for a long time.
Right up.
Okay, we'll hopefully see you in Vegas next week.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I've checked the weather. It looks like all systems go. There shouldn't be a cloud in the sky, but things can change over 7 days. We'll see.
Okay, homie. Have a good weekend.
Brother. Okay, man. You do the same. Good luck at poker. And thank you for tuning in. Here is your weekly motivational speech.
You stop being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad. You just kind of want it.
Your habits determine what direction you're going.
You don't want it badder than you want to party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep.
You're better than that.
Today's your day. You are the only reason why all of your ancestors before you ever lived.
Make a choice, right? You just decide what it's going to be, who you're going to be, how you're going to do it. Just decide.